I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Wisconsin. Come along and join master cheesemaker Terry Lensmeyer at Simon Specialty Cheese in Little Chute, Wisconsin, as he shares insights about just why Wisconsin cheese is regarded by many as America's best. Lensmeyer also talks about the stringent process of gaining certification as a master cheesemaker and Wisconsinites' passion for super fresh, squeaky cheese curds. Simon's recently claimed a world-class award for their Veta cheese. Lensmeyer learned the art of cheesemaking from his father and grandfather and received his Wisconsin Master Cheesemaker certifications for cheddar, Monterey Jack, mozzarella, and provolone. He is considered one of the country's most experienced cheesemakers and has shared his experiences through seminars in Wisconsin, California, and Minnesota, and working with the University of Wisconsin-Madison professors. Terry Lensmeyer.
We're sitting at Simon's Cheese.
This is a pretty legendary cheese venue in the whole state of Wisconsin, isn't it?
Yes, it is. A lot of history being made when this plant made the cheese for many, many years and grew into this great store.
You were raised in the cheese world, weren't you, as a little kid?
Yeah, I started working for my father and grandfather when I was in second grade, and in seventh grade I started working right in the plant. Been doing it ever since, so over 40 years.
You did go away to college and thought you might be doing something else, and that didn't work, right?
Yeah, you know, I thought I wanted to try something different. I went and got a college degree in music education, but you know, that education degree sure does work great in this industry, working with other people and helping to train them.
But what point did you know you wanted to be a cheese maker?
You know, I think I really knew back when I was in high school already, because I actually got, Wisconsin has licensed cheesemakers, and I got my cheesemaker's license when I was in high school yet, but then I left, yeah. So I got it when I was a senior in high school.
What was it that got you? Why were you so fascinated and intrigued by cheese making?
I think part of it was just because my father, my grandfather did it. I liked making the cheese and seeing it magically change from milk into a cheese and making a good cheese and making people happy when they bought the cheese.
As we both know, a little biased, but Wisconsin cheese is reputed to be among the finest in the world.
I believe it is. I think it's a heritage of all us cheesemakers that are here in the state. We've got the farming community that does a good job in producing the milk we need. We've got the heritage of cheese making, and we all take great pride in what we're doing. And in some respect, many of us, my friends, are competitors, but we're all friends. We talk about cheese making in general and what we're seeing. And
you compare problems?
We compare problems all the time, you know. And, you know, I might ask me, you know, I got this problem. My cheese getting this ass. And he said, have you ever looked at this? Or what about, have you thought of that? And we do it back and forth. And it's a competitive group, but we're all comrades in making cheese.
What factor does the soil and the atmospheric characteristics, the geology, geography, weather play in making Wisconsin cheese exceptional?
I think it plays a bigger factor than most of us realize, in that there's certain microbial components that are in our soils that when the plants get grown, it transfers up through the plant, then the animal, the cow, eats that food and transfers it to the milk, and that all keeps just going through the progression as we make cheese with it. Creates unique flavors maybe in some of our cheeses, like if we're grass-fed or and that type of thing.
It is kind of funny. I mean, right across the border, you got Minnesota not too far away, right?
Yeah, Minnesota isn't too far away. And, yeah.
But you don't really hear about, oh, Minnesota cheese.
No, I think it's the heritage of the people here in Wisconsin. Strong farming background, strong cheese makers. Like we talked, the climate was conducive to making milk and producing cheese.
Let's talk about the Master Cheesemaker program in Wisconsin, which is like getting a PhD.
It's a very good program. I'm a very strong believer in it. I was fortunate to be in the first class. It started in 1994. I started taking classes. It's over a three-year period. It's a series of seven classes. You take a test at the end, and it took me about 38 hours to write it. And to this day, as I talk with people, it's still taking them that 38 hours. It's a very intensive test.
What does that do for a person in their career path?
I think as a career path, not only makes us better cheesemakers, it helps us be better cheesemakers, make better product, get better products to the consumer.
Going forward, you've been doing this, 40 plus years, basically since you were born. Are you a judge of the people coming up?
Yeah, I'm a judge. I get to work. I'm on the Master Cheesemaker board, so I work with people that want to become Master Cheesemakers I teach a class down in Madison to help people prepare for that, and I've done some other things throughout the state of Wisconsin, even out of state, to help pass on the knowledge, the techniques of making good cheese.
Tell us about some of the things that you think are most fascinating about the process of making cheese. Like we talked about, the olfactory experience.
To me, one of the most unique things is that milk is a living organism, so we're taking a living organism and we're converting it into another living organism that is always changing. And as that changes that happen in them cheeses, that's how you make your good cheeses, particularly as you're aging cheeses. It's just how we as cheesemakers can influence that by what we do in our processes, what we do with our ingredients makes it really interesting.
Let's talk about color for a moment. You, right here behind you, you have a white cheddar, and then there's a yellow.
A lot of people think there's a lot of difference between a white and a colored, and really not a lot of difference. The color, we just add a natto color to it to give it that color. If you look at it, generally people on the East Coast, they grew up on white cheeses, and they prefer white cheeses to this day. People in Midwest and Alt West, they prefer colored cheeses. Is there a lot of differences? No. We can make two cheeses exactly the same, white and colored, and they'll...
So you can do a blind side-by-side tasting, and somebody might...
To a certain extent, people that taste cheeses as part of their job, there's some subtle differences, very, very subtle. One of my master cheesemakers here that I work with here at Agripier, him and I can tell the difference when it's white and when it's colored. We can put it with other people that can't tell the difference, but we've been grading cheddars a long time.
Yeah. But again, bottom line, it really is a visual appearance more so than anything else.
It is more so a visual appearance. General consumer, I don't think, will be able to tell the difference.
Does anybody know how it started?
I don't know. I've never really heard the story of why it started, of white to colored.
So we're wide open. We can make something up.
Can make something up, absolutely.
I'll work on that.
Hey, yeah, that sounds good. Come up with a good story and you got a good line. Yeah.
Next to you, you have a feta and a provolone. Talk about how, like, it, why did it not become a cheddar? You know, what made it a feta? How does that happen?
Well, if you look at it, one of the unique things that we're influencing as cheesemakers is our pHs of our cheeses. Normally, a cheddar cheese that's aged out, or mild cheese, that cheddar that's aged out, the pH is right around 5.2. When you turn around and look at a feta cheese, that cheese is a cheese that needs to have more of an acid flavor. So we take that cheese and add enough culture, enough thing, other ingredients to get that pH down to 4.6. Then, on top of that, the cultures are similar between feta and cheddar, but then we add another ingredient to the feta that helps release the fats in the cheese that creates some of the unique flavors in there also.
And one of the most fun things of traveling around Wisconsin and the cheese world is cheese curds. And that's reason enough to come to Wisconsin for a visit.
Oh, yeah. I'm fortunate enough, I can flavor curds right after they're made. The fresher the curd, the better the curd. It's got a nice squeak to it. It's got a nice pliable body. But, yeah, cheese curds, as we know them in Wisconsin, they are milled curds, are unique to Wisconsin, not a lot of other states where people can experience the freshness like Wisconsin. They change as they get older.
Be there right away.
Get it fresh and you got it.
Is there a hierarchical pecking order of locals that think they know where the, oh my God, best cheese curd is found?
Oh yeah, I think everybody has their own unique flavored plant to get their cheese curds from. A lot of it is what they were brought up on and that becomes their flavor profile they like.
So when you get a cheese curd in a restaurant, they typically, what, they kind of dip them and bread them? And
yep, they dip them and they bread them and they deep fry them. And them are, I'll call them okay, yeah. But for us diehards that know what fresh cheese curds are like, we'll go for the fresh any day.
So it's pure unadulterated.
Yeah, fresh, really fresh.
So again, reason enough to come to Wisconsin, right?
I think so. I know so.
Okay, so once again, where are we at?
Simon's Specialty Cheese in Appleton, Wisconsin.
And there, it's a national, worldwide award-winning cheesemaker, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yep. We make quite a few cheeses that win contests, and we do well every year in contests, and we work hard to make that happen as cheesemakers.
Somebody here, one of your coworkers, was saying when I came in, they won, like, best of the world. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, this year, at the World Contest, which any country in the world can send cheese in for this, and there were like, I believe it was over 3,200 entries in all categories. That's beyond feta. We won best in feta class again. And I think it's the last three contests we did that in. So, and we have some, there's stiff competition in feta. Now, when you think about it, you have people from Greece where feta originated sending cheese in, and we beat them.
Wow. So they're probably really upset about that one.
Yeah, they think our feta in the U.S., you know, because we make it with cow's milk rather than, you know.
Goats or.
Yeah, they think it's not the same, but the judges are tell the story.
And where does the judging take place?
Judging is generally happens either in Madison, Wisconsin, or Green Bay, Wisconsin.
So if you had a fetish for feta, and you were on the East Coast or West Coast, and you wanted to get some from here, could you order it online?
You could order it online from this store, yes, sir.
Do you know how you do that? Is there a website? Do you know the name
Simon's
of it?
Simon's Cheese Store has a website, yes.
Well, Terry, thanks for sharing so much.
No, thank you very much. Very interesting talking with you, and always love talking about cheese.
Yeah, I could tell. I love it. Well, it's a fascinating subject.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very good.
Thanks again, Terry.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.